case for argument is Wilder Corporation v. Thompson. Mr. Unrath.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Craig Unrath. I represent Wilder Corporation. We're here to appeal the district court's order dismissing our claim for implied indemnity. There are two basic elements to a claim for implied indemnity. You need a pre-tort relationship or a special relationship and a qualitative difference in the conduct of the two parties. We believe we've satisfied both those elements. Judge Mim disagreed. He found that there was no special relationship between Wilder Corporation and the Drainage District because the Drainage District merely ran a pipe across our property. In fact, they operated a drainage pumping system for over 90 years. That drainage system equipment was run by diesel engines. They set up above-ground storage tanks to supply fuel to those engines. And the pipeline was not just merely any pipeline. It was a petroleum pipeline. Now, oddly enough, 5 years after my client vacated the property, pollution was found, contamination of diesel fuel, in exactly, precisely the same spot where the Drainage District conducted its operations. Perhaps this was just a coincidence, but we think not. Now, the district court said that we lacked a special relationship. Now, you look at the case law and look for a definition, pardon me, of special relationship, and there's really no clear definition. What you have is case law starts off by saying the same phrase every time. Classic examples of this relationship are. Well, in other words, the courts are saying that it must be ruled upon on a case-by-case basis, that it must be ruled on, the determination can only be made by analogy. Now, there's a number of cases that say a lessee and a lessor have a special relationship. Here we have an entity operating on our property pursuant to a right-of-way for 90 years. I find no qualitative difference between that and a lessee-lessor relationship.
Mr. Unrath, let me ask about the alternative rationale that Judge Mim relied upon, which has to do with the fact that the Nature Conservancy didn't sue you all for any tort. They sued you for breach of explicit warranties in the contract.
Yes.
I suppose you all that those warranties were all negotiated, right?
Yes.
And agree with me that a deed with all those warranties was worth more than a quitclaim deed?
That is something I would not agree to, Your Honor.
Really?
No, I would not. And the reason is this: is that the contract as written. Subjected my client to cleaning up a pollution, whether it was known or unknown.
Right.
At no other
further
point.
So wasn't that of some significant value to the Nature Conservancy that they paid you for?
I'm not convinced that the Nature Conservancy adequately paid for it, and I think that that's
a different question.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, let's just consider the possibility of a difference in value between a sale with warranties that your client would clean up any problem and a sale with a quitclaim deed, here are the keys, I'm out of here. You don't think there's a difference in value between those?
Oh, I think there's a difference in value, but whether
okay.
that difference is reflected in the sale price, I cannot say, and that's not a matter of record.
Let's go with me on this.
Then. Okay. Because
your client has been held responsible in a decision that we affirmed last week, for breaching those warranties for which we have to presume it was paid. Under those circumstances, given Illinois case law involving efforts to get implied indemnity for breach of contract claims, how is there a claim here?
The claim exists because the court ruled on only half of the definition of implied indemnity.
Now, the Illinois cases say if you're being held responsible for breach of contract, there's no implied indemnity.
Your Honor, I'd refer you to the Kirshner case. The Kirshner case was a breach of a partnership agreement. The a claim was made by the breaching parties against their lawyer. Now, the lawyer who gave them apparently bad advice that caused them to breach the contract, the lawyer was not involved in the
contract.
Sounds
like a professional malpractice claim.
Very much so, but it was alleged.
But how do you deal with Talandas and Schulson?
In those cases, those were all pre-Frazier cases. The Illinois Supreme Court's distinction in Frazier is that a claim for implied indemnity can arise either solely from the legal relationship of the parties or, and this is the part that everyone seems to have missed, or it can arise from a pre-existing non-delegable statutory or common law duty. And that is nearly, as best I can, a quote.
What you're arguing is that every time, of course, contract liability is strict liability. So you're saying every time someone violates, breaches a contract, breaks a contract, and is not personally at fault, he can turn around and sue whoever it was whose act precipitated his breach.
That caused them to breach, yes, Your Honor.
Well, that's kind of crazy, right? Because then every time someone breaks a contract, he goes looking around trying to find someone who did something to cause the contract to be broken and say that's the one who's compensated for me. So every breach of contract suit would give rise to satellite suits against the people who procured the breach.
Your Honor, the...
And there's no legal basis for it.
Actions for implied indemnity?
Thompson didn't commit a tort against you because you were out of it. They're just responsible, in some, you know, ultimate sense, for your inability to honor your warranty to Nature Conservancy.
Thanks.
I don't see any limit to liability under your theory.
Your Honor, the Drainage District didn't just breach their duty toward Wilder; it breached its duty to the people of Illinois. It had a statutory duty to...
For goodness sake. I mean, what if you're late in a taxi cab? Taxi cab takes you to the wrong address, and as a result, when you get to the meeting to negotiate the final contract, you're late, and as a result, you overlook a critical term in the contract, and as a result, you're sued for breach of contract. What, do you turn around and say that taxi driver is responsible because he negligently took you to the wrong address and you were late?
I think that's an extreme hypothetical example, Your Honor.
Right.
It bears very little relationship to the facts in this case.
So now we're going to have to separate the extreme cases from this case? I don't get it. It's too vague.
The Drainage District had a non-delegable statutory duty not to pollute Mr. Wilder's land. They did.
Well,
they
sure
breached
there
that.
Sure, there are regulations of taxi drivers. They're supposed to be trained and maintain their taxis and know the routes. So,
but I think the difference is that when you, in the primary case, we're not dealing with the conduct of the taxi driver. Here we are. We're dealing with pollution of land.
Well, you haven't sued them for pollution of land.
Pardon?
You haven't sued them in tort.
You can't.
No.
Right,
no.
You can't because you sold the property.
We're suing them. The implied indemnity doctrine is based on restitution. They polluted the land, and we were held responsible for paying for their pollution.
Because you agreed to.
Anywhere.
Right?
In the contract, we did indemnify the Nature Conservancy, but we still have a right to...
You should have gotten a warranty from the Thompson Drainage and Levy District.
In the end,
protect,
Your Honor, though...
You didn't protect... That's another reason this would become totally unmanageable, because when you turn around and say this third party precipitated the breach, third party will say, well, look, you could have protected yourself in a variety of ways. You didn't have to give Nature Conservancy such a broad warranty, especially since you deny that you were compensated for it. So that was careless of you. Why you warrant that?
And by this means the drainage district is...
Yourself. You didn't protect yourself. You didn't do everything you could to insulate yourself from liability.
And by this means, this process, the drainage district has been completely relieved of its duty, statutory
duty,
to pollute.
Why didn't you tell Nature Conservancy, look, there's stuff on our property from this Thompson drainage district, so we can't give you a broad warranty?
Because we didn't know about it, and neither did the Nature Conservancy.
We didn't know about it? You don't know what's in your property?
No, Your Honor. After an exhaustive environmental review.
Is there a structure?
Yes, there was a structure, but
you know that there's a drainage district and that there's potential pollution. You must know that.
Your Honor.
If you don't know it, you're negligent.
The Nature Conservancy conducted an exhaustive environmental analysis. They found no pollution until many, many years after we'd vacated the property. Thank you very much.
So you should have said, look, we'll warrant you against pollution for 2 years, but if pollution shows up in 20 years, we're not going to be liable for that. You negotiated badly.
Contract is what it is, Your Honor.
The contract was badly negotiated, so why are you faultless?
Your Honor, we are faultless because we did not pollute that land. That's all we can
faultless.
Say.
No, you're at fault. You didn't protect yourself with a careful contract.
There are no further questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Unrath. Mr. Kohlhaas?
May it please the court, counsel, the court's observations are very apt. The warranty that was made here was that there was no petroleum on this property that consisted of over 6,000 acres in excess of normal background concentrations. Now, it didn't say we don't know about it. Didn't say we didn't cause it, said it's not there. It was there. They basically, that is Wilder, basically provided the Nature Conservancy with an insurance policy against the existence of any petroleum contamination. They were required to make good on their promise. That is the basis for their liability. And under the cases that Judge Hamilton cited, there is no way under Illinois law, when they were found liable for breach of contract only, that they can obtain indemnity. With respect to the tort-type indemnity and the special relationship really is not a term of art that's used in those cases. The basic proposition is the relationship has to be one that resulted in liability being imposed upon the person seeking indemnity. And that is not what happened here. Obviously, there was no so-called pre-tort relationship that was the basis of liability being imposed on Wilder in the case in which the Nature Conservancy sued them. With respect to the non-delegable duty, that has been stated backwards by counsel. It's the duty of the person seeking indemnity that has to be non-delegable, not the person that they are seeking indemnity from. That is, they had a statutory or administrative non-delegable duty, and even though they weren't the actor that caused the problem, they were held liable because of that duty. That's not what happened here. They're suggesting that the drainage district had a non-delegable duty, not that they did. I think it's clear that there's really no basis for this claim. If there are no questions, I'll sit down.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Okay, next case.